You were expecting someone prettier to come up and read the scripture, right? Well, she's homesick, I'm afraid to say. So she said, would you today? So I'm going to be reading as well as preaching. I'd like to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. It is necessary to boast. Nothing is gained by it. I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up in the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a person, I will boast. But on my own behalf, I will not boast except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. To keep me from being too elated, three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that this would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And would you pray with me? Lord, your grace is overwhelming to us, and we just thank you so much for all that you do for us, for all the ways in which you work in our lives, and the ways you speak through us. I do ask you to use me today to speak your word. May this word truly be yours and not my own. For I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, some people wonder why it is I speak up here. You know, when I preach, I always do it, and Bob speaks down on the floor. But see, I'm several inches shorter than Bob. So I know that you can't see me as well, and I want you to be sure to be able to see me, especially the people in the back, because if they see you, it's hard for them to fall asleep. So we want them to be able to stay awake and watch. So
I don't find that true.
They still fall asleep, okay. I'd like to start off by telling you a story of two prayers. I've been a pastor in a small church on the prairie lands of Kansas for only a few months. I walked in the parsonage after the typical Friday night football game, and Susan met me at the door. She'd received a call that one of the teenagers of our church, a young woman named Karen, was critically ill and in the hospital in Manhattan, Kansas, which is about an hour's drive away. I left at once. As I drove, I prayed about Karen's situation, and I had the strangest feeling. I've never experienced this any time before or since, that when I was praying with Karen in the hospital, I ought to especially remember the story that we find in the Gospels of the woman who was experiencing a flow of blood and reached out and touched the garment of Jesus, and then the instant she touched it, She was healed. And that story just stayed so strongly with me. When I arrived at the hospital, Karen's condition was worse than I thought. She was heavily sedated because of her severe pain. Her mother, Ellen, told me that her daughter had endometriosis and was going to have a hysterectomy the next day. And the doctors weren't sure if they could save her life. We talked for a long while. And when I got ready to leave, I told Ellen I wanted to pray for Karen and about the feeling I had had that we ought to, together, in our minds, reach out and touch the garment of Jesus. And she agreed to that. And so we formed, I guess, kind of a prayer circle. She and I were on each side of the bed, held hands, and each of us touched one of Karen's shoulders. And we prayed, and in that prayer, we reached out to touch the garment of Jesus. I left shortly thereafter. The next day I heard that Karen was much improved and would not need an operation. A couple of days later, she came home from the hospital. I was so happy for her and her family. She was their only child. A few weeks later, I saw Ellen. And she was so excited to tell me what had happened during that time of prayer in the hospital room. As we prayed, she told me, and as we reached out to touch the garment of Jesus in our prayer, she said she felt something like electricity go through her and into Karen. I felt nothing at all. Ellen knew that Jesus had healed her daughter. It was God answering her prayers. That's the first prayer. The second prayer, involving the same two people, took place 3.5 years later. Karen called me. She told me that her mother had been diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer. Could I visit and pray with them? I went in the hospital room, and there was Ellen in obvious discomfort. Same three people gathered around a hospital bed. And we joined hands. And we prayed. And in this, again, I talked to him about reaching out and touching the garment of Jesus. And we did that in our prayer. But sadly, a couple of months later, Ellen died of her cancer. One time, God's healing power in response to a mother's prayer. The second, it's as if God said no. So how do we deal with these different responses? Because many of us, if not all of us, have experienced them. What do they teach us about prayer? There's great joy when God reaches out with God's own healing touch and brings about a healing we just don't expect. But great sorrow when we pray for it and that healing does not come. Today, I read to you a scripture written by the Apostle Paul. I hope you were able to follow it. Paul sometimes kind of wordy, and it's kind of hard to follow his writing sometimes. But the first 5 verses of it, he tells about something spectacular, something supernatural that happened to him, he said, 14 years earlier. We just don't know exactly what he's talking about because it's not mentioned any other place in the Scriptures. But he talks about a time when he was actually in heaven and saw heavenly things and heard things that you just don't hear on earth, could not even be heard on earth. And this just filled his heart, and it said, it was just an experience like no other experience. It was kind of like God's yes to Paul. The next five verses tell us about a severe problem that Paul had. He describes it as a thorn in the flesh given to him by Satan. We're given no details about what this thorn is, but it must have been very painful. To me, the best guess comes from William Barclay in his commentary on Corinthians. And what he said was, most likely this was something, this was a pain that he suffered chronically from a recurrent attack of malarial fever common in that area in the first century. It caused recurring headaches, excruciating headaches, and high fever. But this is what I want you to notice, is what Paul's prayer was. Because Paul writes, I pleaded with the Lord three times, not once, not twice, but three times, for it to leave me, this thorn in the flesh. And God said to him, my grace is enough for you, because power is made perfect in weakness. So essentially what God is saying to Paul is, no, I'm not going to answer the prayer the way you're praying it. He said, because my grace is something that's even better. My grace is enough for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. Paul, the apostle, who has written more books in the Bible than any other author, who took Christ to the people of Macedonia before anyone else ever had, or and several other places in our world. This Paul, surely God would have answered his prayer, but no. He answered it with, my grace is enough for you, because power is made perfect in weakness. This is not the only time God said no to requests by some of the saints, some of the spiritual giants. Moses, King David, the prophets Habakkuk and Jeremiah all received no's to prayers that they prayed. But the most surprising no of all to me took place in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. And God had to say no. How hard would that have been? It makes no difference who we are, how we pray. God does not always answer our prayers in the affirmative. It is so painful when our prayers are not answered the way we want, especially if it deals with the health of someone we love or even their life. When that happens, it can feel as if God is turning God's back on us. May even test our faith. We kind of feel like, where are you, God, when I needed you most? God's promise of grace doesn't seem like a fair exchange until later on, when we begin to heal, we realize what a fantastic gift this is that God has given us. There's a reason that amazing grace is our favorite hymn. But let me tell you something else about Paul's prayer. Paul was a praying man. In fact, as you read through the books of the Bible that are from Paul, all of them letters, Some of them I'll just mention: Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians, and so on. There's 13 in all. In all of these letters except one, Paul is praying for either the church or the individual to whom the letters are written. Only Titus does not have a prayer recorded. Paul's prayers almost always looked out and didn't look in. I don't remember, now maybe Bob does, I don't remember another time when Paul prayed for himself in the letter like he did, he tells about in this time. Paul's attention was focused upon God. One thing I have learned about is that when my prayers start with an emphasis on God and not on my own needs, my focus changes. When I'm reminded that it's about God, it's not about me. Now, for me personally, I find it helpful to start my prayer with a time of praising God, acknowledging God's greatness. And then usually at the beginning, I will spend a time of confession, saying the ways I've failed. I haven't done what I should do, or I have done things I shouldn't do. And then I usually have a time of thanksgiving, thanking God for the many ways in which God has been at work in my life. And then when I get to this point, when I'm reminded of God and how great God is, then it's time to lay my request for myself, my family, those I love, before God. Praying in this way reminds me that God is in charge. God's sight is so much broader, so much clearer, so much more comprehensive than mine, and that even when God says no, God loves me and is watching over me. I guess it's kind of like a no, but with a hug. So pray. It's important that we pray, and pray acknowledging God's greatness. Pray confessing we haven't always been what we're supposed to be in God's sight. Pray thanking God for all that God has given us. And then pray. Pray for our new president, for our country. Pray for our church, for Pastor Bob, for Community Center, for Aisle 7, for Pastor Kevin. Pray for the needs in your life and for the people in your life. You may be surprised at the way God works through your prayers and how God may call you to be part of the answer. I remember when I was a little boy, I was real young, just beginning to understand a little bit about faith and about God. I remember Mom telling me one time that God answered prayer, and that when we asked for something, God would answer that prayer. Well, I didn't really believe it, but I decided I'd try it out. I didn't want to pass up something if it really worked. I had this old bicycle, so I prayed. I said, ask God for a bicycle. There was no bicycle waiting for me the next morning, or the next, or the next, or the next. So I kind of just gave that up. Believe that, well, that just really wasn't going to happen. Do you know what? 2 years later, there was, beside the Christmas tree, this beautiful bicycle, much better than I ever anticipated. Mom and Dad were giving me for Christmas that year. I didn't even realize or recognize that as an answer to my 7-year-old prayer until I was an adult. And then I looked back and said, oh, well, I'd forgotten, but God hadn't forgotten my prayer. But God waited until I could appreciate and take care of that bicycle. God's answer sometimes comes in surprising ways and in God's time. Sometimes the answer is no, but be sure to look beyond that no. Amen. I want to end this time with another prayer of Paul. It's one he prays in the book of Ephesians to the people at Ephesus. But today this prayer is going to be for us. It's going to be for the people of Rona. And so this is Paul praying the prayer for us today. So let us pray. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
This is the second sermon. Yeah, okay. I just want to say, as I was sitting here listening to Jeff, I hope that you will continue to think about this during the week. Think about the times in your life when God said no, when you prayed for something and you didn't get it. And then go back and review that thing and realize how your life changed because of the no and how your life is better for that. I thank God that he answers no to many of my prayers, because I really don't know what I'm talking about and what I'm asking for. So I was very moved by Jeff's message, and I hope, though, that it won't end here just now, but that you will continue to meditate upon and think about the ways in which your life is better because of the no's to prayers. So let us pray. Holy Father, we know that in your time and in your way, that our lives are destined to be with you forever. Father, we know that not one person prayed that Jesus would go to that cross. Not one person prayed that he would die there. We prayed for deliverance, but we thought it would come in a very different way, in an easier way. But in the end, Father, your way was the right way. So we pray that we would trust in you always, simple faith to trust in you, that we might lead lives that glorify you. As we go forth this day, may our faith and trust in you be strengthened, and may we know that your hand is always upon us. In your Son's name we pray, and amen.